7. We're doing this in writing?
I want a permanent record.
Because you think you know what I'm going to ask.
I know what you were planning to ask. If you want to be a big baby, you'll change it up so that you can show me I'm not as smart as I think I am.
I want very much for you to be as smart as I think you are.
I'm busy. Ask your question, please.
Can you teach me to make the instantaneous jump outside and back in without your help?
I'm perfectly capable of jumping you wherever you want. It doesn't even amount to a blip in my bandwidth anymore.
And that will work until we're out of communication.
Where are you planning to go where I can't hear?
Descoladora. Wang Mu thinks that's a bad name for the planet now, so we're going to go find out.
Ah. So you're afraid that when you're killed, I won't be able to find you and bring back the bodies?
Everything on that planet's surface will be as slow as light speed. Where's the Ansible that will connect us?
The answer is yes, I can teach you.
Spoken without equivocation.
I've already taught Miro. He and you were both on the first voyage outside. He had the inner cohesion not only to hold his body together, but to make an undamaged duplicate, genetically identical with the first.
And the strength of will to murder his old self.
He transferred himself into the new body. He felt no need for a crippled twin. He has no interplanetary ambitions, however. He uses his new skill to hop from one place to another here on Lusitania, and to periodically visit the starship, or box, if you prefer the term its inhabitants are using now, hovering in various places over Descoladora.
And since you think of me as Andrew Wiggin, you believe I have even more sense of inner cohesion.
Your duplicate of young Valentine was so perfect, they have identical DNA. We have no way of testing whether your current DNA matches the original Peter's.
Don't fib, Jane. I know you too well. There would have been a permanent digital record of the hegemon's DNA to protect against imposture. Nobody would have erased that from your memory.
Your current genome is identical to the original, too.
So you can teach me to hop?
It requires concentration.
I can get outside.
Getting outside is easy, almost a reflex. What you concentrate on is where you want to arrive when you come back in. It all happens so fast that you never experience outside at all.
Well, I feel half-trained already.
But you have the fantastical idea of taking your beloved wife with you.
That was the plan.
And that, too, is possible. But to carry people with you, you have to know them.
I know her.
Barely. And most of what you think you know is wrong.
That's unencouraging.
I should not have said know them. I should have said love them. You doubt your love for Si Wang Mu? Speak up, Peter Wiggin.
I doubt that you have any concept of love. And I doubt that your ability to carry other people outside and back in is dependent upon an emotion that you are incapable of feeling until after Ender created the body you're using now, during the first trip.
A rational suspicion. But here is what I know that you do not. I can perceive all philotic connections between me and human beings. I feel them, the way you feel the presence and position of your limbs and fingers.
So by love, you mean philotic connection?
I do.
So am I philotically connected to Wang Mu or not?
It exists, but I cannot vouch for how strong it might be.
What if we trust to luck and leap for it?
Si Wang Mu is too valuable to risk on such a mad chance.
If you didn't have a plan to overcome this problem, you simply would have told me from the start that I couldn't take her with me.
I know someone who can measure philotic connections between other people.
A mother tree? The father trees?
They feel every tree and pecanino in the world, and on the new worlds as well. But you and Si Wang Mu are not pecaninos.
The Hive Queen, then.
She wants to meet you anyway.
I'll bet she already knows the answer.
I'll bet the answer is constantly shifting, and her understanding will be much clearer when the two of you stand before her.
In the darkness? In her cave? Surrounded by formic warriors?
Do you insist she come out and speak to you in the light?
I don't insist on anything. I'll do whatever it takes. Even though you must understand that I have terrible nightmares with her in a starring role.
Ender always did, when he was your age.
If I knew what my age is, or what that term might even mean with regard to myself, I could evaluate the meaning of your statement.
Your body is exactly as old as mine.
But my memories are not.
Should I bring the two of you back to Lusitania now?
Neither of us is dressed for company, and we need a good night's sleep.
You do have beds on Lusitania, too, you know.
We don't want to have to talk to anybody. After we're up in the morning and washed and dressed, and after we've eaten and said goodbye to a few friends...
No goodbyes. Since there will be no starship launch from the vicinity of Unity that has you on the passenger manifest, you don't want anyone looking for you for a few days. By then, I can create a couple of false identities for passengers on a flight that you weren't on, but which anyone looking for you will conclude were really you.
Still keeping faster-than-light flight to ourselves?
My bandwidth can handle all the people I currently transport, but not the billions who would want access to this manner of travel.
I'm not sure. Is this the first time you have ever admitted to a personal limitation?
No. But it's the first time I've admitted one to you. Transcript conversation. Jane and Peter Wiggin II. Peter Wiggin II, Biographical Archive.
Jane was right about the ease of learning how to transport himself. After three trips with her, he realized that he really had been outside between disappearing in one spot and reappearing in another, right there in a meadow on Lusitania. Then she told him that she would help him. He only had to concentrate on the spot where he wanted to go, not telling her where, and she would make sure he didn't get stuck outside. After the third time of this method, she informed him that she had done nothing at all. He was moving himself. From the north side of the meadow to the southwest corner isn't the same as traveling to a starship orbiting another planet, Peter told her. Yes, it is, she said. Exactly the same. I could see where I was going here in the grass. What you saw was irrelevant. Your visual functions are not involved. You knew where you were going.
Because I had seen it, said Peter.
Where do you want to go? The box?
Eventually, perhaps, said Peter. But I don't have anything to say to the people there.
Pick a place, said Jane, and then go. Don't tell me where. I'll follow if you get in trouble.
Peter picked the place near the river by the house of Han Feidze on the path where he had first met Si Wang Mu. And there he was. It was as effortless as moving across the meadow. See, said Jane, who now stood beside him. Without looking at her, Peter said, I'm not in trouble yet. Why did you follow me? Then Peter turned, and there was Si Wang Mu as well.
I brought her along, said Jane, once I knew where you had chosen to go.
Si Wang Mu had tears running down her cheeks. Peter was at a loss. What's wrong? He asked.
I was so happy in this house, said Wang Mu. This is where I learned that I had a mind.
Jane rolled her eyes.
What she's not saying is that it moved her deeply that of all the places in the universe, this is where you chose to go.
I did not say it, said Wang Mu, because I did not think it.
Just because a thought doesn't rise to consciousness and become language doesn't mean that you didn't think it, said Jane. But now that we've got this gnomic moment, shall we go back to Lusitania?
You'll bring Wang Mu, yes? Peter asked Jane.
We're not trusting you to bring her yet, said Jane. Not until we know if you are tied to her well enough to carry her.
Peter thought of a problem with this. You carried hundreds of people and formics and pecaninos from Lusitania to many different colony worlds. You still transport supplies there.
Do you really know all those people and aliens?
People will do for all, said Jane.
Do you have some kind of bond with them?
By the time I take them, I do, said Jane. But I have tools and talents that you will never have.
And a heart filled with love, echoed Wang Mu, without the sarcasm.
You both understand me so well, said Jane.
They were back on Lusitania, inside the fence again.
Did I really transport myself? Peter asked Jane. Or are you just babying me along, letting me think I'm doing it?
Since it makes no practical difference, I feel no interest in proving it to you.
You'll learn to trust your own abilities.
So am I ready to meet the Hive Queen? Asked Peter.
I don't know, said Jane.
I am,
piped up a child a few meters away, coming up the path behind them.
Peter tried to remember which leguminid this was.
The one they call Little Mum, he asked.
Thulium, said Wang Mu.
The one who went over the fence and found the Hive Queen on her own.
She invited me to come back, said Thulium. I'll lead you.
So you've already met her, said Wang Mu. Is she very fearsome?
I talked to her through one of her workers, said Thulium. It makes no difference. She spoke to me through the worker's mouth.
Peter looked at Jane. Is this all right? Jane just looked at him, puzzled. She's a child, said Peter. Do we have permission to take her with us?
I believe, said Jane, that she has already proven that these fences can't keep her in. So in this case, she is taking us with her.
Wang Mu held out a hand to Thulium.
I'm Si Wang Mu, she said.
Royal Mother of the West, said Thulium. I'm honored to meet you.
I accept your courtesy in the name of my ancestor of the heart, said Wang Mu. Please call me Wang Mu.
So their procession through the nearby Pecanino forest consisted of four people. A young man and woman with Polish and American ancestry, a young Chinese woman of Path, and a girl of no more than 8 years of age whose ancestry included Japanese, Greek, Armenian, and such a mix of other genes as to defy classification. If any of the Pecaninos they passed thought it odd that the adults were following the child, no one said anything.
Peter wondered if Jane had communicated with the father trees, and therefore all the Pecaninos knew their errand and had no questions.
Peter had questions, though, mostly for Thulium.
You're the one that is sometimes called Ultima Thule, he said.
Not by anyone who matters,
said Thulium. Her reply was cheerful but instantaneous.
How did you know to follow us?
I saw you practicing the hop in the meadow, and then I assumed the three of you went somewhere else together and then came back. Another planet?
It seemed a good idea at the time, said Wang Mu.
Peter felt her words as a reminder to him that his conversation with the little girl was not private and did not concern only his interests, as if Thulium herself weren't making that clear without any help.
So when you came back, what was next? Said Thulium. The Hive Queen, obviously.
There are trillions of human beings to whom that would not be obvious, said Peter.
Exactly,
she said.
Do you read minds? Asked Peter.
I have some skill at what psychologists call mind reading, but not at all in the way you meant the term, said Thulium. But I assume that you weren't the one carrying Wang Mu along on your junket, and since she's your wife, you need to be able to carry her, or you won't have the freedom of movement you're hoping for.
Peter thought, I can have complete freedom if I simply decide not to take Wang Mu on a particular trip. Then Peter thought, she's my wife, and to imagine leaving her behind would be a betrayal, in her mind and in mine as well. If Thulium was reading his mind right now, she gave no sign of it. A born diplomat, perhaps. It hardly seemed likely with her being a child of Sargent, the least diplomatic of the leguminids. Why would this information lead you to know we were going to see the Hive Queen right now? Asked Peter.
The trees can't see philotic connections to anyone but themselves, and you don't have any with them, said Thulium. But the Hive Queen has known you for thousands of years, inside out. You'll have no secrets from her.
Peter turned to Jane. She hasn't known me, he said softly.
Your deep self, said Wang Mu. Endo Wigan transported the Hive Queen's cocoon from world to world for 3 millennia. They communicated mind to mind whenever they chose,
Just because you don't remember it doesn't mean that she's forgotten.
But this child, how can she?
She's a leguminid, said Jane. She was told the story of Ender and the cocoon weeks ago, and being Bean's grandchild, she didn't forget. She extrapolated from what she was told and realized that of all the beings on Lusitania, only I have known the Hive Queen longer than you, because her sisters plucked me from outside and brought me in so I could help them communicate with you. Then the queens used me to infiltrate the program on the Battle School computer system to give you visual messages. This Hive Queen remembers these actions as if she did them all herself.
That was Ender, not me, said Peter.
You, said Jane. Stop being truculent about it. She's going to know you when you get there, and it would be childish of you to insist that she pretend not to know who you are. If she thinks I'm still Andrew Wigan, then she doesn't know who I am.
Enough of that nonsense, said Thulium. It's a stiff walk, and we don't want a lollygag.
Enough of that nonsense, thought Peter. An 8-year-old talks to adults that way? No, he realized. That's not what I was thinking. That's what I allowed myself to think that I was thinking, but at the deepest level, far below language, what I really thought was, this child dares to speak so disrespectfully to me? Who do I think I am? I refuse to be Ender, for good reason. But I am not owed any scrap of the great respect earned by my namesake, the Hegemon.
Wangmu, said Peter. Is the original Peter Wigan my ancestor of the heart?
More truly than the royal mother is mine, Wangmu answered. You share his DNA. You look like him. But all that ancestor of the heart business is, of course, sentimental nonsense. It's designed to give a child noble aspirations, to bear the name of a worthy person and consider him or her to be an ancestor. But you know that your heart needs no ancestor, because your most important ancestor is you. You are literally a continuation of his life. Your avoidance of this is harming you more and more every day.
Wang Wu said it without a trace of disrespect or even reproof in her voice. She was a superb servant, wasn't she? Yet Peter also knew that when the two of them were alone, she had learned never to say such things to him, certainly not with such clarity and certainty, because he would fly into a rage, at first, or simply leave the room until he cooled off enough to feel no need to reprove her for her temerity. He knew that she spoke now, because in front of Jane and Thulium, he could not rage. And on this errand, he could not walk away. He had to bear it. She manipulates me, he thought, but only to tell me what is obvious to everyone else. I am who I am. I have the history I have. But I don't remember being Ender Wigan. I have avoided reading his writings as much as possible, and I haven't read the transcripts of Pleakt's speaking for his death, nor have I talked much with the original Valentine about him. It's Peter Wigan that I've studied and tried to learn from. I read the Hegemon again and again until I realized that I could not find the real Peter Wigan in those pages. But I found the original Andrew Wigan there, because every page was filled with his wisdom, his understanding, his admiration, and his forgiveness of his brother. Not my forgiveness, though. I don't remember being either one of them. I only remember coming to consciousness inside that starship where Ayla was making her anti-Descalada virus and Miro was refashioning himself. I had enough memory to know my name and Valentine's and Ender's. I even knew why we were in that ship and who the other people were, and that a being named Jane was controlling it all. I had the full range of the languages Ender Wigan understood and spoke, not just the English of his childhood in America or the Stark he had spoken on every world since, or the slang of Battle School. On every world where Ender had spoken for the dead, he had learned at least some of the local language, and in some places, an astonishing amount. That's why Peter was able to follow many conversations in Japanese, in Mandarin, in the Lusitanian dialect of Portuguese.
because they came along with Ender's Ayua into Peter's brain. I am full of languages. My muscles are full of memories, too. They can't be Peter Wiggins, because muscle memory is not in the DNA. As he walked alongside Wang Mu, following Jane and the child, he realized that if someone were to rush at them to attack them, his body knew exactly what to do. He knew how to manipulate body weight, duck and dodge, and where to strike an opponent to immobilize him. Why hadn't he noticed he had this skill before? It had never come up. He had never admitted to himself that he really was in some way Ender Wiggin. But now, walking this longish distance, his muscles were coming alive and awake. This isn't the body I wore when I learned these skills, he thought, and my kinesthesia would not place my blows exactly where intended. But I could adapt to it. I can wear this body and call it myself, even though my mind remembers wearing a different body. How can the dimensionless Ayua carry muscle memory with it? That is not an interesting question, his own deep mind assured him. What matters is that now you know the Ayua can carry memories, from languages to body movements, and if it can bring those along into this new flesh Ender made, what other memories might there be? Jane started talking to Thulium in front of him. Oh, Thulium, let's not go down there. We don't have to follow your exact track to the Hive Queen. We'll save ourselves a climb later if we stay high up on this slope. Thulium looked up at Jane and blushed. Then she looked hurriedly away, but accepted Jane's suggestion about the route. If Jane wanted anyone else to know why she took this detour, she would have explained it. Thulium's obvious embarrassment suggested that Jane was helping her avoid some spot that had scared her before, or something like that. Something that would make this seemingly fearless child wary of returning by that route. Yet Thulium had not asked for a detour, and had not chosen one. She might want to avoid something, but she had not chosen to avoid it. Jane knew something that Thulium had not known that she knew. As far as I'm concerned, he said to himself, I didn't notice anything about their conversation about the route. It was trivial. I'm just a passenger on this little journey. He started looking around for landmarks to see if he could return to this spot later, using his newly acquired outside-in mobility. No, he thought. I will not come back here and try to find evidence of something that would have shamed Thulium. Even if she were really a simple 8-year-old child, she would deserve privacy and respect. And since she's a leguminid and not an ordinary child at all, I need to show her all the more respect. Si Wang Mu squeezed his hand. He looked at her. She wasn't looking at him. She was merely smiling. Did she hear and understand my entire conversation with myself? Did she see how I avoided asking questions? Did she know that I decided not to return here and search for answers? Is she judging me every second? No, he thought. She's observing me with affection and understanding, guessing the things I'm struggling with. And she's happy when I triumph over the Peter Wiggin nature built into this body. So it isn't me she loves. It's Ender Wiggin. Fool, he told himself. It isn't the Peter Wiggin aspect of me that she loves. It's my deepest inner nature, which happens to be the same one that made all of Ender Wiggin's choices in life. Shut up, he told himself. He squeezed her hand back. And if she looked up at him, she would have seen him smiling too, because it was certainly true that whoever he turned out to be, Si Wang Mu was his wife, and she would be on his side.
Thulium recognized everything about the place. The river, meandering through nearly level ground, with meadows and then farmland stretching away west and north, and a bank of hills on the south shore. The cavern, or tunnel entrance, she still couldn't tell which, with formic workers moving in and out, all of them on an urgent errand, judging by their haste, but nobody plotting their trajectories, which seemed to be negotiated at the moment, and not according to any protocol. Maybe some kind of invisible ranking? They moved like ants, individually purposeful, collectively chaotic. Does the course of history change depending on whether the two formics, instead of colliding, pass each other on the right or the left? Or is chaos simply the easiest control method for the Hive Queen, who has more important matters to attend to? I believe she lives inside that cave somewhere, said Thulium. Depending on how much of insect cultural patterns remain with her, she may be very deep inside, with almost no light, but with some kind of air movement passages that can be opened and fanned for cooling, or closed and warmed for heating.
I've never been inside, said Jane, except my observations through the jewel that Ender wore in his ear.
Nor have I, said Thulium. A formic came and talked to me as I stopped to drink and wash myself in the river.
Would the others wonder why she felt a need to wash?
Let them, thought Thulium. I can't control what they wonder. Peter was saying nothing, but Wang Mu said,
If Peter has any memories from Ender's passage into the habitation of the Hive Queen, they haven't surfaced yet.
Thulium wondered why Wang Mu was answering for Peter, as if he were a child too shy to speak his mind. But then again, he came to consciousness far more recently than I did. Just because he's adult-sized doesn't imply that he is not, in some ways at least, still in his childhood. So, trying not to give offense, Thulium did not ask if Wang Mu also cut up his food for him to eat. She didn't have to be Sergeant's child all the time. Without Thulium noticing its approach, a formic now stood on the opposite bank.
It's shallow, said Jane. She expects us to cross.
When you say she, said Wang Mu, do you mean that the formic we're looking at is female, or that you're telling us what the Hive Queen wants?
Both, said Jane. We know there must be males to fertilize the eggs, but she has never shown them to us.
The parents have seen male formics, said Thulium, and the cousins have all seen the vids. The giant and our parents came across an ancient formic colony ship, pre-lightspeed. The queen had died, but the interior biome was still functioning reasonably well under the half-mad direction of the drones.
I will want to see those vids, said Jane.
Oh, please, said Thulium. You already ransacked all our computer storage. You've studied them.
I would rather have them given to me than to ransack them, said Jane.
A cosmetic difference, said Thulium, since the ransacking has already happened.
It's one of the things the Hiram Graf simulation was doing before and during his conversation with you.
So he was a virus, said Thulium.
Not a hostile one, said Jane. He took nothing away from you.
Except our privacy.
Do we cross the river barefoot? Asked Wang Mu. The water seems to be drinkable, but it isn't clear enough for me to see the bottom. Will I need to wear my shoes or carry them?
Thulium noted that Wang Mu was mothering them all, keeping them on the subject that mattered, steering them away from conflict. Well done, Chinese servant girl. Thulium, who had already felt the bottom of the river, at least near the shore, took her shoes off and strode barefoot into the water. At once, the formic splashed into the water, raced across, and scooped Thulium up in her arms. Thulium understood the moment she saw how deep the water was in the middle. The others could safely ford the river, but Thulium's body was too weak to resist the strong center current. Thulium's question was whether the Hive Queen, paying attention at that moment, had ordered the formic to come and carry her, or if the formic itself had enough intelligence to make such an evaluation and decision on its own. Or had the Hive Queen given it a prior instruction, which it was now, intelligently, obeying? She saw the consternation in the others, now splashing after her. She waved and called out,
It's all right. I'm not big enough to fight the current, so she's keeping me safe. Good,
said the formic in its strange voice. Thulium realized that it was easier to understand this time. Then they were on dry land, and Thulium slid out of its arms, her arms, and stood again, waiting for the humans to catch up. They did, soaking wet. They wasted a few minutes wringing out their clothing, as much as possible, and then putting dry shoes on wet feet, never an easy task. Thulium said nothing by way of criticism. She had been ferried across, so nothing above her knees was even damp, and she already had her shoes back on. They would do what they believed they must, and what was the hurry? This was their errand, not hers, so their sense of urgency was what must guide their progress.
Still, Thulium felt as if the Hive Queen were calling her, saying to hurry. Why was she waiting for the others? Because I'm terrified to face you alone, she thought. Even in the darkness and with your weak eyes, came the answer. You are never safer than you are with me.
Was that really the Hive Queen talking to her? The Queen had communed with Ender when she was inside the cocoon. She had given him the visions that allowed him to write the Hive Queen. Could she also talk to Thulium? But she was receiving words, not images, the way Ender had described their communication.
That was how we talked at first, little one. But I learned to think in a languagey way. So now I use my vocabulary lookup tables to allow me to speak into your mind with some hope of achieving understanding.
You're terrific at it, Thulium said silently. Or at least I think I'm understanding everything you say.
Alas, that I cannot say in your language everything that I want you to understand, the queen replied. But we'll see what happens over time.
And then, as those words ended, Thulium's vision was filled with a scene inside a huge enclosed space where an enormously tall man was stepping away from a harness and walking clumsily, thunderously on the soil of a strange garden. Then he stumbled and fell and lay still, and Thulium knew that she had just witnessed the death of the giant, her grandfather.
How do you have this image? Thulium asked.
In reply, she saw the images of all the animals in the garden, their eyes open, watching.
The mother of these creatures was dead, said the queen. But when the leguminids found the place, I quickly learned to see through the eyes of those orphaned creatures and add their observations to my memory. I remember it as if I saw it myself.
Thulium felt an arm around her shoulder.
Don't be afraid, said Wang Mu. She's clearly protecting you.
Jane's voice answered. Thulium didn't stop because she's afraid. The queen is already speaking to her, and she showed Thulium a memory that means a lot to her. Let's give her a moment to recover before we press her to lead us on. Wang Mu's hand withdrew from Thulium's shoulder. Thulium reached out, took Wang Mu's hand, and drew her arm across her shoulders again.
I'm not sorry that you touched me, she said. I was taken from my mother at a very early age. A human touch, kindly meant, has been rare in my life.
Wang Mu tentatively squeezed her in something like a sideways hug. It was, of course, awkward, but love is love. Instantly, Thulium saw an image of herself and Wang Mu as they were at that moment. It must be the vision being passed to the Hive Queen from the formic who had carried her across the river. But there was more to the image than just the girl and the young woman. There was also a glimmer of light, a thread like a strand of spiderweb glistening in the sunlight on a dewy morning. Am I making a philotic connection with Wang Mu? Asked Thulium in her mind.
You are connecting with each other, said the queen. Show me all the connections, please.
You could not comprehend them all, the queen said.
Your brain could not contain them.
Try me.
No, the queen said, with finality.
But look at these.
Now Thulium saw the four of them, still from behind, but the gossamer connection between her and Wang Mu was reduced to insignificance by the vast, bright ropes that came from Jane, one leading back toward Lusitania Colony, where Thulium assumed it connected with Miro, and another thick as a hawser connecting her to Peter. Then other thick, philotic connections reached into the cavern, and Thulium knew that they led to the Hive Queen. A hawser-like connection from Peter, another from Jane. A slight one from Wang Mu, but a stronger one from Thulium herself. What about a connection between Peter and Wang Mu? Then she saw it, as it briefly glowed a little brighter. It was there. Nothing like the connections that had grown over years, no, centuries, between Ender's Ayua and those of Jane and the Hive Queen. But not a weak connection either. Many strands. Not yet formed into a firm rope, as the long-standing philotic connections appeared to Thulium in this vision. But still too many strands to break easily.
Is it enough? Thulium asked. Can Peter carry Wang Mu along with him?
Little one, said the Hive Queen in her mind. That is Peter's question to ask, and it is for him to learn the answer.
Let's go on in, said Thulium. I think she'll show us the way.
There will be well-worn paths, said Jane, and no traps or obstacles, not even low ceilings, because her children cleared them all away long ago. And the darkness is not absolute. Look around you and think. No one needs to stumble.
Thulium strode into the tunnel's mouth.
Shouldn't the Formic lead us? Asked Peter. You may hold the Formic's hand if you like, said Jane, but she will follow us, not lead.
Thulium heard them follow her, their feet scuffing the dirt of the hard-packed road. How many thousands or millions of steps had Formic feet taken to form this path? And back on the original Formic worlds and colonies, which existed thousands and thousands of years, what paths and tunnels did they form? Will I ever see anything truly ancient from the Hive Queen civilization?
I can show you many images, said the voice inside her mind, but your yearning is to see them with your eyes. That might be arranged with one of those who can travel world to world. Be patient, little one. Your eyes will see many things, but your mind will see far more. Things that were, things that are, things that are yet to come. You will imagine things and make them come to be. You will imagine other things and do whatever is necessary to avoid them. You are one of the hinges of memory. No, of history. Your word is history because you learn it instead of remembering it.
I will write about this day, said Wang Mu softly.
I will write to Master Han. Please don't, said Jane. Let him live out his days in the company of his beloved daughter. Let him forget how much better he was pleased with you than with her.
Thulium thought, Jane can be cruel. Then she thought, Jane knows how much pain can be a part of love. The way father loves me, even though he hurts and frightens me. While the twins hurt and frighten me for the pleasure of it, and have no love for me at all.
I wish I could see philotic connections the way the queen does,